Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Matt Peck is done for the weekend. So I am here hanging out with you guys. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on Instagram as well, at Locked On Bulls. Our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. I have tons. About a dozen voicemails to try and get into to today. But I want to get to the Detroit game. But before we do that, again, drop all of your voicemails, 331-979-1369. The place to do that. Wanted to let you guys know before we get into the episode, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now. $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Thanks to Indochino for being a sponsor of today's show. What's up, guys? How are we doing? As I sit here and record this, it is 4:05 a.m. I sound a little different. I'm in the 670 studios working here overnight, but got a chance here, some downtime to record an episode. Wanted to just react to the Bulls' win against the Pistons. Plenty of sound to play for you guys as well, talking about Lauri Markkanen specifically, so we'll get into that in a minute. As well as Derrick Rose reunion. I've got some sound from Derrick Rose too, pre and post game as well, that I kind of want you guys to get a chance to listen to if you didn't see it on social media. So thanks to the Bulls pregame live show on NBC Sports Chicago for that audio. But let's get into it. It is a bit odd being here at 4 o'clock in the morning recording a podcast for you guys, but hopefully this is good enough to get you guys through the weekend. So we'll do voicemails at the back end of the episode. Like I had said, I've got probably a dozen voicemails sitting here right now. So yeah, let's get into the Detroit game though. Bulls win 112-106. Was another very, very close game. The Bulls are getting tested. The Bulls are getting really, really tested in these first, what was that, first five games, six games now. It seems like every single game the Bulls have brought it down to the fourth quarter, down to the wire. This was something that Jim Boylan and John Paxson, I felt like, specifically talked about at the beginning of the season, was we need to get better and we need to learn how to win games. Zach LaVine talked about it at the end of last season. We need to learn how to win games. And for the most part, the Bulls have struggled to close out games for the first five games of the season. Bulls did a nice job tonight, and I'm going to go through the last 3 minutes of the game. They did a really nice job tonight, but I'll be honest with you, it wasn't enough. I mean, Detroit made a handful of mistakes where Derrick Rose doesn't step out of bounds, Derrick Rose doesn't turn the ball over, Tony Snell misses a wide-open three. We'll get into it in a minute, but the Bulls should have lost this game again, flat out. And they were lucky Blake Griffin wasn't available to play tonight. Blake Griffin did take some shots up at the United Center pregame, but he was not available to go for this one. So the Bulls got lucky. The Bulls got lucky with this win, and it's exactly why when I tweeted out the schedule a couple of days ago, I said, I think the Bulls are going to go 6-14. That's going to be their record at the start of December. A lot of people said, you're crazy. I see maybe three wins on this. You know, this could go for any sport that plays multiple games back-to-back. Let's go to baseball for a second. In a three-game season, it's very, very difficult to sweep. When the Bulls find themselves playing an opponent more than once in the same month, sometimes the Bulls are playing back-to-backs against teams. Sometimes they're playing it within the same couple of weeks. I always imagine that there's a coin toss between those opponents as far as the Bulls maybe pulling off a win that they shouldn't have, or vice versa. You know, it can happen to the negative effect for the Bulls, too. Teams that they should beat that they see maybe twice, maybe if they're a division opponent, they see them three times within a given month. One of those games should go the Bulls' way. Vice versa, though, the Bulls should capitalize on games that they should win. Figured this Detroit game was going to be one of those. Obviously, the Bulls winning this game 112-106, but it took every single ounce of every single Bulls player on this team to pull out this win. Let's talk about it really quick, though. Last 3 minutes, LaVine touches it, knocks down a really, really, really difficult three-pointer in Derrick Rose's face to start off under 3 minutes. The play that I was talking about specifically, though, was Zach LaVine got absolutely burned on the other end right after this play had happened. Got absolutely burned by Derrick Rose. A nice pass on the inside to Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond gets fouled. Right after this, they inbound the ball to Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose makes another really great move. Blasts past Zach LaVine on a nice pick from Andre Drummond, too. But Derrick Rose steps out of bounds. There's mistake number one for Detroit. Bulls go down on the other end. Don't make a shot. Rose flies back to the other end and misses an easy layup. The Bulls are still up three at this point. Rose accidentally fouls Satoransky on the opposite end, so Derrick Rose was involved in like four or five really crucial plays at the back end in the last 3 minutes of this fourth quarter. So Rose accidentally fouls. It was his first foul of the game, but he thought the Detroit Pistons had an extra foul to give. He was really, really angry with himself after that. But then Satoransky turns over the ball. After a couple free throws are shot, Satoransky turns the ball over. LaVine gets his shot blocked. Tony Snell misses a wide-open three to tie the game. Wide open. Bulls are up 107-104 with 45 seconds left. Carter gets hacked on the other end. He makes one of two free throws, which we'll get into in a second. 17 seconds left. The Bulls are up 108-104. Luke Kennard for Detroit. He misses a semi-contested three-point shot as well. The Bulls come back on the other side of the ball, and LaVine is fouled. 110-104. LaVine knocks down both of those with 9 seconds left. Drummond gets an easy bucket, though. There's 9 seconds left. All the Bulls have to do is play somewhat of a defense, and they win this game. It's over. Drummond gets an easy bucket. It's 110-106. Timeout's called. 5 seconds left. LaVine's fouled on the other end. He makes both of those free throws. Pretty much seals the deal, and the Bulls win 112-106. But a handful of mistakes made by Detroit, again, like I had said before, a handful of mistakes made by Detroit that pretty much handed the Bulls this win. Derrick Rose makes that layup. Tony Snell knocks down that three. Luke Kennard knocks down that three. Derrick Rose doesn't step out of bounds. The Bulls are still struggling to find offense in the last 3-4 minutes of the game, and it's becoming really, really concerning. The only guy that has scored off the bench in handfuls, besides Kobe White in the Memphis game, has been Thaddeus Young. Thaddeus Young stayed in this game. Markkanen went out after 2.5 minutes, looked like he had hurt his side. Wasn't really sure what was happening with him either. We didn't get much of an update throughout the game, but Thaddeus Young played all 12 minutes, every minute, every second of that fourth quarter. This is the second game in a row Thaddeus Young has closed out a game. We'll get to that in a second. Because I do have some really, really good audio from Jim Boylan being asked by Casey Johnson and also Darnell Mayberry. You know, if Markkanen was cleared to go back in the game, and if we needed him, well, why wasn't he back in the game? I got some audio, too, from Lauri Markkanen as well, talking about, you know, Jim Boylan's decision back-to-back games now to go with Thaddeus Young instead of Lauri Markkanen, especially in crunch time. I also have some of your calls, too, talking about the confidence level of Markkanen and also what's going on with late-game closeouts with Zach LaVine, Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen all on the floor together, yet cannot figure out a way to not only score but stop other teams from scoring really quickly. Sounds like Lauri Markkanen is going to be okay, though. Seems like he knocked his side, wasn't really sure when it had happened. It stayed in the game, then he was pulled, went to the locker room, and seems like he's all right. But he did answer and say that he was okay to return. Let's hear from Jim Boylan first, though, when he is asked.
Word was, how's he doing? He's okay if you want to give him a shot. And I felt good with that in there.
So he was available?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know exactly what was wrong with him.
Okay. So Thad obviously has played well the last two games. But what does that say for a franchise that is, you know, putting Lowry and Zach as kind of the faces of it, that Lowry's now sat out the fourth quarter of two straight games?
I don't know. Otto sat out a fourth quarter in Memphis. Sometimes I'm going to ride with the guy. He had an injury tonight, so I don't think that really applies.
Okay, I can understand this from Jim Boylan's perspective. You're in the middle of a fourth quarter in a really close game against Detroit. Have no idea what's going on with Markkanen, not getting too much of an update, but, you know, and I guess it's tough to decipher in a two-minute timeout or a three-minute timeout whether or not Markkanen's good enough to go back in the game and whether or not you're going to further potentially risk injury to Markkanen by putting him back in that game, especially early on in this season. One thing, though, is it makes me remember about Chris Dunn last year. Remember when Chris Dunn fell on his ass really, really hard? Looked like maybe he had broken his tailbone. He had gone out of the game in that fourth quarter. But then he came right back, clearly in discomfort, clearly hurting. And Jim Boylan yet had Chris Dunn in that game. So I guess I can understand what he says when he thinks that this doesn't really apply because he didn't know what the extent to Markkanen's injury was. And so I do appreciate it from that standpoint, but that always hasn't been consistent with Jim Boylan. Again, going back to Chris Dunn, Chandler Hutchison playing 40 minutes against the Hawks or against the Clippers last year in February when he hurt himself against the Hawks in meaningless minutes. I have a little bit more on Lauri Markkanen, though, and what Jim Boylan, I think, is doing. And I don't think he's necessarily playing mind games with Lauri Markkanen, but I think it's kind of put up or shut up at this point. And I think Jim Boylan is giving him a little bit of tough love. We'll get back to that in a second. I want to wrap up this Detroit game really fast, just to give you guys some stats. Also give you guys some points that I saw while I was watching the game outside of the fourth quarter. The first one, too, is I don't know if Zach LaVine takes it as a badge of honor that he can knock down difficult shots or he likes taking difficult shots and they've happened to go in, but it scares me. It scares me that that's not going to be consistent enough. You know, we talked about it in the fourth quarters where Zach LaVine tends to try and force shots at times. I was seeing this in the first quarter, though. Seeing this in the second quarter, you know, and to not to disparage Zach LaVine, he had 11 points in the first quarter. He's a plus five in the plus minus. But then third quarter comes out and plays, what, 7 minutes of that? He plays damn near 7 minutes of that third quarter. Doesn't score a single point. Otto Porter went off in that third quarter, though. He had 10, along with Wendell, 7. And Thomas Adoransky chipped in 5. But the biggest problem is we see this kind of back and forth with Zach LaVine. And his heaters come, and then his heaters disappear. Shooting, offense completely disappears. And I'm not even going to get into the defense right now. I touched on it lightly a couple of minutes ago, but it's 4:30 in the morning. I don't have time to talk about Zach LaVine's defense or kind of break that down for you. But I wanted to mention, though, something that I really, really like from this Bulls offense. Six times in this game, the Bulls went on mini runs. 7-0 run, 6-0 run, 6-0 run. They had three of those in the first quarter. They had a 7-0 run, a 6-0 run, and a 6-0 run. Then they had a 15-5 run in the second quarter, too. Every single one of these quarters against Detroit, the Bulls had pulled off either a couple of mini runs or one really long extended run. 15-5 in that second quarter, but then they let Detroit turn around and go on a 15-3 run. So that doesn't help, and the Bulls did this again, too. Anytime they've gone on a run, they've given it right back. They've given it right back. So like I had mentioned in that second quarter, about midway through, the Bulls go on a 15-5 run. To close out the half, though, Detroit goes all the way back and goes on a 15-3 run. Can't let that happen. Derrick Rose scored 10 in the second quarter. Cannot let that happen. Something that I pointed out a lot last year, and it was absolutely disgusted with, was the way that the Bulls played in third quarters. They came out of the half, and not only did Jim Boylan not adjust, but players just came out flat. He'd bring guys off the bench to start that third quarter, and he realized, I think, pretty quickly, and again, the Bulls' bench was terrible last year, but I think he quickly realizes, I got to put my starters back out there. We got to get off to a quick run. Third quarters are important. Third quarters are really, really important. This is one of the reasons we talked about with Fred Hoiberg last year when they got off to such terrible starts. That second half, Fred Hoiberg made no adjustments, and the Bulls would get toasted. So the Bulls went on a 20-9 run to open up the third quarter. Really, really good. 6 minutes into the third quarter, feeling pretty confident. Bulls went up as much as 16 in this game at one point. But then again, that third quarter, in a span of about 4 minutes, the Pistons go on a 14-2 run, bring the lead all the way back to within four, 79-75. Bulls go on a quick little heater to end the quarter, 5-0 run. The Bulls had two separate 5-0 run and 6-0 runs in the fourth quarter. But again, Detroit, in the middle of that fourth quarter, once Lauri Markkanen came out of the game, the Pistons went on an 18-8 run, brought the game all the way back, and actually took the lead by one, coming down to the last 3.5 minutes. Lucky enough, like I had talked to you guys about at the beginning, open part of this episode, Detroit made a lot of mistakes. Missed a lot of wide open shots in the last 4 minutes of the game. And in combination, those mistakes ended up turning into Bulls points. Bulls went on a quiet little 6-0 run to close out basically the game. But again, if the Bulls don't give up these massive runs after they go on one, the Bulls are winning these games by 10, 15 points. Again, though, like I said at the beginning of this episode, I think the Bulls stole this one. The Pistons pissed this one away. It's plain and simple. And I'm not trying to harp on Derrick Rose, but that was the key part. Derrick Rose is part of the reason why this team was even in this game. You know, Luke Kennard had 8 in the fourth quarter, but nobody else really stepped up. So Derrick Rose was part of the reason why this team was even in this game. He finished just shy of a team high for the Pistons with 23 points. Andre Drummond had 25 points. So clearly the Bulls have a completely different problem guarding in the paint, but that'll save for another episode. Overall, though, felt pretty good about this game. We'll get into marketing in a minute, but felt really, really good. Zach LaVine, 26 points. Wendell Carter Jr. with another double-double, 16 points, 13 rebounds. If there's any major takeaway, it's Carter seems to be slowly but surely building some confidence. You know, I loved hearing him say, quite frankly, nut up, when the Bulls lost the game to New York. And then against Cleveland, too. You know, Wendell Carter Jr. is slowly building up some confidence, and I hopefully he's building up himself as a leader on this team, which I just, from what I can hear, sounds like he is. And I think people are starting to take him a little bit more seriously. So, really nice game from Carter. Zach LaVine topped it off, nailing 4 really big free throws at the end of the game, which the Bulls had a problem with doing that last year, is knocking down late-game free throws. So Zach LaVine closing the game out finally, really good to see. Before we get to Jim Boylan, more Jim Boylan audio, and Lauri Markkanen, and as well as Derrick Rose, you know, this is my absolute favorite time of the year. Well, it was. I mean, that is until Chicago now only gets 1 week of fall. It goes from 75 to 80 degrees straight to snow. It was freaking snowing for more than one day. I had to drive to the score the other night, and it was god-awful. And here, if people aren't fully prepared for the snow, they decide to drive like complete assholes. But regardless, sweater weather, leaves on the ground, and threes from downtown. That's right. For some, it's fall season, but for the rest of us, it's ball season. NBA and NCAA basketball are tipping off, and there's no better way to feel part of the action than having a stake in the game with mybookie.ag. The Bulls right now are plus 50,000 to win the NBA championship. Plus 50,000. There's only a handful of teams that have worse odds than the Bulls at this point. It's the Hornets, the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Knicks, the Cavs, all with worst odds. Washington Wizards have the same odds at 50,000 to 1 to win the NBA championship. So, hey, you put $10 down, you win $5,000. If the Bulls end up winning the NBA championship. So I don't know if I would steer you in that direction, but the Bulls are 20,000 to 1 to win the Eastern Conference and 5,000 to 1 to win the Central Division. Now look, if you're a betting person and you want to throw $100 down to see the longevity of this team and have some type of rooting interest, all it takes really is one major injury to somebody on the Pacers or the Bucks. And if the Bulls can figure a way to turn this thing around, you could have yourself a nice, pretty sweet bet there. You know, Jim Boylan loves to talk about division opponents. He was just talking about it tonight in postgame about Detroit. So 5,000 to 1 actually might not be a bad bet. Bulls to win the Central Division, 5,000 to 1. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right, double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. That's mybookie.ag, mybookie.ag, promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your first deposit today. Again, use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate your offer. It's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. MyBookie.ag. Go there today. All right, so let's hear again from Jim Boylan after the game here. He is talking about Lauri Markkanen, who only played 2.5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
What does that say for a franchise that is, you know, putting Lowry and Zach as kind of the faces of it, that Lowry's now sat out the fourth quarter of two straight games?
I don't know. Otto sat out a fourth quarter in Memphis. Sometimes I'm going to ride with the guy. He had an injury tonight, so I don't think that really applies.
Again, like I said, I understand where he's coming from. He didn't really know what was going on, but just consistency. And maybe we're talking about last year and the Chris Dunn situation doesn't even make much sense, but it does in this context. Like, if you're saying right now, well, it's still early on in the season, you're not really playing for anything, you could say the same thing about when Dunn was inserted back into the lineup in late February. What was Dunn playing for? Bulls were already way out of it. So again, just some consistency. Here is what Lauri Markkanen had to say, though, after the game. When he was asked, not only about being left out of the fourth quarter, but if he's all right with his injuries and what was going on.
I'm good. I'm going to be all right. I don't really know what happened. Don't remember any specific play. It's my side, but I haven't really got it checked out yet.
All right, so he said he's all right. So that's good. That's good news. You know, the last thing we need is Lauri Markkanen to miss another 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. I mean, I can't deal with that again. Lauri Markkanen sat out the first 9 weeks of the season. And realistically, when he came back, he wasn't very good for the first month. Some would argue he wasn't good till February. So that's the very last thing we need to happen to this team, is Lauri Markkanen gets some type of significant injury in the first 10 games of the season. So I do applaud Jim Boylan a little bit for not really knowing the situation, not feeling like he needs to go to Lowry. And I can understand Casey Johnson's question. I'm glad that he pressed Jim Boylan about this. This is like, this is the team you're building it around. Like, you're building it around these two guys, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen. Why is he not out there in the fourth quarter if you're saying he's good enough and the medical staff said he was good enough if you needed him? Why wasn't he out there? Because realistically, think about this. This was under a 5-point game. Pretty much for the last 2.5 minutes of the game. You know, the Bulls and the Pistons were at 107-104 for the longest time. So again, if this team's being built around Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, why is he not out there? Let's go back to pregame, though. Lauri Markkanen addresses Jim Boylan's decision on not letting him close out the fourth quarter instead of staying with Thaddeus Young. Let's take a listen to see what Markkanen had to say about this.
I know you don't control coaches' decisions, but when a night like in Cleveland happens and you don't play on the stretch, do you talk to Jim about that, or you follow up with him? Or?
I trust him and his decisions, and I think, yeah, I mean, Thad was playing well, so I understand that totally, and that was his
position, and I'm accepting my role.
So he doesn't sound too happy about that. But, again, even if you're not totally satisfied with this, you don't want things to go off the rails after six games. So Markkanen says he's just going to accept his role, play from within himself, and understood that Thaddeus Young was playing better than he was against Cleveland, and that's why he didn't close that game out. Now let's go fast forward to tonight's game. After tonight's game, Lowry was asked again, Jim Boylan's decision, after saying that he was all right and he could have went back into the game, asked again about Jim Boylan's decision to go to Thaddeus Young instead of him in the closing minutes.
Jim said you were available to come back. Did you feel like you could have returned to the game?
Yeah. I can't remember how much was on the clock when I came back out of the tunnel, but I was good to go. But guys were playing really well, so I didn't hop on. At least it got loud in the tunnel, so I guess they did really well. They fought hard. Wendell got a couple of really big rebounds down the stretch, and they fought hard. So obviously it's a good team that we played against, so they did a really good job.
You know, as fierce of a competitor as Lowry Markkanen is, he's pissed off that he wasn't in the game. He wasn't in there to help them close that out. Goes back to something I said about 10 minutes ago. Is this a strategic move by Chris Fleming and by Jim Boylan, and maybe even comments, suggestions from even higher up? Doug Collins? Jim Paxson? John Paxson? Is somebody telling Boylan to maybe give Lowry Markkanen a little bit of tough love? Or is this just Jim Boylan's coaching style? Is this the way that he wanted to run this and notices that Lowry is not playing well and says, you know what, you're going to go ahead and sit. We're going to play the veteran. He's going to show you how to close out a game. And he's done that now, back-to-back games. I don't know what earns Lowry Markkanen back to close out those minutes. Because all of a sudden, if you just go straight back to him, and what happens if he has a bad game again? Perfect example, Sunday afternoon, like a matinee game, basically. Bulls play the Pacers 4 o'clock in Indianapolis. What happens if this comes down to a 5-6 point game again, 5 minutes left? Who is Jim Boylan going to? Say Lowry and Thaddeus Young both have a really good game. Say Carter's having a really good game, too. Is this more of a knock on Markkanen's ability to play defense than it is his offensive production? I think Jim Boylan, without a doubt, knows even when Lowry is not knocking down his shots, it's better to have him out there if you need offense than it isn't, right? That's a no-brainer. I'm curious, though, if this has a lot more to do with Lowry Markkanen's ability to play defense, ability to cover guys late in stretches of games. You know, that's been the biggest criticism so far in the first six games of this season is Lowry Markkanen's ability to play defense, which we'll get to that. We'll get to some of the callers, too, that want to talk about that. But again, Thaddeus Young playing a lot better defense than maybe Lowry Markkanen can. Bulls have this really, really bad issue with not being able to rebound. You know, I think the Bulls, I was just looking at it, the Bulls had like the fourth or eighth most rebounds as a team so far to start this season. To flip that around, though, they were tied for second worst in the amount of rebounds that they were giving up. I had tweeted it out before the Detroit game, but the Bulls had a margin of rebounding compared to their opponents of negative 65. Negative 65. Teams were out-rebounding the Bulls insanely. So is this partly, too, because Lowry's inability to grab boards? I don't know. It could be a combination of all of this. But again, it goes back to tough love. Is this Boylan's way of saying, you know what, if you're not going to get the job done, I'm going to put the veteran that's going to do that, step up and show me something, or you're going to ride the bench? In important minutes, you're going to ride the bench. They can't afford to leave Carter off the floor. Can't afford it. He's the only dude out there that plays any defense. So you can't have Carter off the floor. You're not going to play three big men. You're not going to put Thaddeus Young at the wing. Unless for some wild reason Otto Porter Jr. gets in trouble, especially late, and you still don't have Hutchison. But that's the thing to me. Is it because of Lowry's defense and his inability to rebound consistently right now? Or is it the fact that Lowry isn't knocking down any shots? Or is it a combination of all of that together? Here's what Lowry said before the Detroit game tonight.
Defense probably, because we haven't gotten stops during the second half, so it's been a problem for us, and especially when we do get stops, they're getting offensive rebound. So I think the amount of points that we scored, we should have won. So we just need to get stopped.
And you know what? He's not wrong about that. Again, the stats are kind of skewed if you look at the most points scored by an NBA team this season, because a lot of teams have played six games. Some have only played four games so far. So maybe we check in on that after Sunday's game or right before Sunday's game, with most teams catch up at least a little bit in the schedule, whether they're going to play back-to-backs or, you know, somewhere around 5 to 6 games, because there's still like 7 to 8 teams that have only played four games. But the Bulls, I think, are number 4 in points right now. So I guess it's not the inability to score in a game, it's the inability to score and hold leads and score late. Those are, I guess, two separate issues. The inability to hold a lead when you do have it, like again, said the Bulls were up 16 at one point in this game. They were up 18 against the Knicks earlier this week. I think they had a 21-point lead on Cleveland at one point. So all of that shows me the Bulls, when they go up into big leads, and like I had talked about, anytime they went on a run, seems like they gave their opponents a chance to go right back on one. But that's the thing, is not being able to hold down a lead. I don't know if it's lackluster performance, seeing if they can coast a little bit, whatever it is. Combine that with the fact that when a team does go on a run against the Bulls don't really have a counter, especially late. Again, they were really lucky against this Pistons team that they made a handful of mistakes down the stretch, because the Bulls could easily lost this game again and could be 1-5. You know, there's an argument the Bulls could be 0-6 at this point. Had it not be for Kobe White against Memphis, Bulls would have lost that game for sure. Had it not been for a couple of mistakes, a missed layup by Derrick Rose, stepping out of bounds, fouling and not knowing how many fouls the team had, Tony Snell missing a three, Luke Kennard missing a three, all of this could have turned around pretty quickly and went in the Pistons' favor. Now, that's not even considering the fact that Blake Griffin didn't play. If Blake Griffin plays in this game, the Bulls lose by 15. Plain and simple. So I don't know what it is, but Lowry seems very frustrated with his defense and the defense collectively of the Bulls than he does about his offense. And again, I don't think he's very worried about his offense either. I think it's about the collective team effort on defense. And also, I think he's starting to notice, too, he's not grabbing as many boards, and that's a big part of why the Bulls are losing overall team battles in rebounds. Lowry's got to be a guy that grabs 7, 8, 9 boards a game. Can't just be Wendell. Same thing with Otto. Otto's got to get in that scrum, and he did a really good job tonight. Opening possession, the Bulls missed, I think, 4 times before they missed the final shot. Didn't even get a bucket, but Otto had 2 rebounds right off the bat. Need all of these guys to rebound. I saw a stat, too, earlier today on Twitter. It said the Bulls collectively have the tallest team in the NBA. There's no excuse then. If combined collectively, you all have the tallest team in the league, there is no excuse for why you're giving up so many second chance points, which they're worst in the NBA in second chance points, to their opponent. Giving up by far the most. But they've done a good job of getting their own rebounds and giving themselves second chance points. They're second best in the league in second chance points so far through 6 games. I don't know what it is, but the Bulls got to figure this out and figure it out quickly. Again, good win tonight against the Pistons. Love to see that. Need to pick up wins when guys are sitting out, like Blake Griffin. Coming up, when the Bulls play the Bucks twice, if Giannis is sitting out one of those games, they damn well sure should be able to try and steal a game from the Bucks. Same thing with Portland. If CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, towards the back end of November, sit out any of those games, the Bulls should be able to snag those wins. Those are wins against teams when they're sitting their stars. You should be able to try and steal games from them. And that goes on top of the games the Bulls should already win, against the Knicks, against Cleveland, against Memphis. Those are games you absolutely have to win. Against Charlotte. Charlotte's going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. You have to win those games. Last thing before I get to Derrick Rose comments. Here's Zach LaVine after the game.
Yeah, I just had to make a play, you know, late shot clock, we were down. I think we're down one, so, you know, I'm not scared to take any of those shots. It should have been three in a row. I missed a wide open one, missed the easiest one, obviously. So, you know, I just wanted to make up for some of the mistakes I did. I was throwing the ball everywhere like an idiot, but, you know, at least I made up for them.
That's for sure, man. Zach LaVine at the end of the game, especially, was throwing the ball around like a complete idiot. He knows that. He admitted it. He had 6 turnovers in this game. That's brutal. By the way, the Bulls doing a really good job of not turning the ball over. They're top 5, and they're also number 1 in steals so far this season in 6 games with 52. So across the league, the Bulls are the best at stealing the ball. Now they just got to work on turning all of those steals into easy buckets. The Bulls are the best when they're in transition. They have a team caught off guard, and they're at their worst when a team does exactly that to them. Watch any of those runs, even tonight against the Pistons. When the Bulls couldn't get anything on offense going, and mostly it was due to Detroit coming down, capitalizing off of Bulls' bad turnovers, missed shots, being able to run in transition, finding easy buckets, the Bulls find themselves struggling a lot when it comes back to half-court type of offense. A lot of one-on-one going on. And you know, it's weird because the Bulls also place top 5 in assists across the league so far in 6 games. Again, a little bit skewed because a lot of teams have only played 4 or 5 games. But still, Bulls at the top of the league in assists as well. So that kind of baffles me. But again, it goes back to the Bulls all of a sudden decide to play a completely different game with like 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter through these first 6 games. You try to explain it to me because I can't really explain it. All right, I think this is what I'm going to do. I promise you guys. Tomorrow, I have already the voicemails loaded. I work here at theScore again from 6 to midnight. I promise you, I will get to all of your voicemails. Every single one. I don't care if the episode takes me an hour. I will get to every single one of your calls. But I wanted to finish off this episode because I'm almost at 40 minutes here. I wanted to get to some of the comments made by Derrick Rose because this is a big moment, you know. I know this isn't the first time he's come back, and the last time he was here, he torched us with the Timberwolves. There's MVP chants going on for D. Rose. But he did have some candid things to say. Bulls pregame, plus his pregame media scrum. He had some really, really, really interesting things to say. So Kendall Gill, first of all, he was one that asked him about his number being retired. This has been a conversation that's been going on. I mean, it's been going on now for years since Derrick Rose left. But really, it's been sparked again and back up because of a post that NBC Sports, their Bulls Talk account, made of Derrick Rose's number hanging in a pretend rafters alongside MJ and Scottie and Bob Love. All of these guys. So here is what Rose said on whether or not he'd like to see his jersey retired. And Kendall Gill also said that he believes full-heartedly Derrick Rose's number should be retired.
I mean, it's not up to me to really think about that. It's not up to me to determine that. It's up to the front office and Jerry and them to do that. So, I mean, I'm from here. Who wouldn't want their jerseys up to Mike and everybody up there? But it's not up to me to decide that.
Sorry about that. That was him in the pregame media scrum. Here's him with NBC Sports and Bulls pregame live pretty much saying about the same thing.
It's not up to me. It's up to the franchise and up to Jerry and them to decide what they want to do. Who wouldn't want to be in the Raptors, man? Like, up there with MJ Love and all the other guys is up there.
You can tell it means a lot to him. I mean, Joakim Noah came back. How about that? Joakim Noah came back for a little mini Chicago reunion to watch his buddy Derrick Rose play. Perfect timing, too. Joakim Noah is not retired, but at that point still looking for a roster. Maybe in February when teams are starting to get desperate, maybe then they bring in Joakim. But it was cool. After the game, too, there was video going around of Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah seeing each other. Pretty special moment, especially for Bulls fans. If you're like me, I was alive when the Jordan run was going on, but I wasn't old enough to remember it. So this was really my first fall in love with a Bulls era type of team, and that included Derrick Rose, concluded Joakim Noah, Tom Thibodeau, and it included Jimmy Butler. All of these guys were a part of my growing up experience. Obviously, Ben Gordon and Andres Nocioni and guys like Tyrus Thomas were really my childhood team. But after that, I was in high school, I was in college, when the Bulls era between 2010 and 2016 was going on. So I loved this team, and I loved that people still show this team an incredible amount of love. Couple off things, though, that don't even have anything to do with Derrick Rose's number being retired or that in general. It was just maybe two questions that I haven't heard Derrick Rose really touch on, and I haven't finished his book yet either. This book, I'll Show You, Sam Smith wrote it. Fantastic read so far. I'm about halfway through it. But I haven't really read anything about his tenure in Cleveland and what happened and what he did after that to get himself back into the NBA. So here is a shout out to Will Perdue for asking him this question.
Considering the situation that happened in Cleveland, how did that affect you mentally? Because the fact you said you've always worked hard, but now you realized how much harder you had to work. Where did you go to find that belief so that you could stay in the league and now be the player that you are now instead of the MVP?
Believe it or not, I went to New Mexico. I went to Mexico at the time. I didn't tell anybody, and I was lost at the time, and I was just trying to realize or just trying to figure out if I wanted to keep playing basketball or not, because I was dealing with an injury at the time. And thank God I had the mentors in my family and my life at the time to talk me through it and, have me make a clear understanding, a clearer thought, training and just understand where I was at in my career. And my family got me through it. I was strong enough to get through it myself and understand where I was at, and I still had a lot left in the tank.
You know, Derrick sounds night and day completely different than he did in the past. Very much more candid when he talks, much more real. Speaking for himself, speaking for the mistakes that he made. So I can really, really appreciate that from Rose. It seems like he's just, I don't know, it's like the maturity level in Derrick Rose over the past couple of years has completely boosted up. You know, even outside the New York Knicks story and outside the Cleveland story, and then he disappeared for a while, talking about going to New Mexico to try to get himself back in shape. But here's what he said, and again, we all know this, he loves Tom Thibodeau, but he said Tom Thibodeau was really the only person to give him a second shot to make it back into the league.
Tibbs gave me a lookout whenever I went to Minnesota. I started there at the three guard, and I was just trying to find a way in, and thank God I found the way in.
So my question again to Bulls fans out there, would you like to see Derrick Rose's number retired? I wouldn't mind it, but there's got to be a handful of guys, a part of this Bulls organization and part of this Bulls history, that have to get in before him. Again, I really think a statue instead of a banner would be a lot cooler. You know, that's something that kids that grew up watching him, that grew up adoring him, can go to the stadium and take a picture with. And I know some of you guys are going to be like, well, does that diminish Michael Jordan's statue and the significance of that? And does that diminish the value and the significance of the Blackhawk statues that are outside of the United Center? I don't think so. Depends on where they put and depends on what it is. But again, this is all nuanced conversation. Do you guys think Derrick Rose's number should be retired as a Bull when it's all set and done? Do you think Derrick Rose's number is worthy enough of retiring? You can hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. You can just drop us a simple text that says, yes, do you like Derrick Rose's number should be retired? Or no, I don't feel like his number should be retired. You feel free to drop us a voicemail as well, 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us, at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Want to thank our sponsors for the show today, Indochino and MyBookie.ag. Again, Indochino, $30 off, $3.99 or more with the promo code LockedOn. and MyBookie will double your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. So go to MyBookie.ag. Thank you to MyBookie and Indochino for sponsoring us today. Matt Peck has been doing a fantastic job doing a lot of these solo shows over the last couple of weeks. So really, really appreciate him for that. I promise you guys, tomorrow at some point, it might not be till later in the night, maybe 9, 10 o'clock at night, hopefully earlier than that, but there will be a voicemail episode out for you this weekend. So weird. Two episodes this weekend. But this episode is going about 45 minutes now. And then tomorrow's. I don't care how long it takes. I'm getting through every single one of your voicemails. So you can drop us one in the meantime, in the next 12 hours or so, at 331-979-1369. Make sure you subscribe to the rest of the Chicago Locked On Podcast Network shows. That's Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence. That is Locked On Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski. Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Or Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears. Whatever your team is here in Chicago, we are sure to cover you. So again, subscribe to those shows. Go give them a 5-star review. Give us a 5-star review and subscribe anywhere you get podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. Anywhere you get podcasts, I promise you, Locked On Bulls will be there. For Jordan Malley, I am saying I am out of here, Bulls Nation. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and my partner, Matt Peck, we're out of here. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com